listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 98. Hey everybody, Kayla Lords here with the one, the only, the still kind of covered in wood chips, John Brownstone. Yeah. Well, you sort of showered off.
Well, I brushed it off, yeah. Man glitter.
Right, that's what we're going to call it, man glitter. Today, we're talking about what to do when a good BDSM scene goes wrong.
No, that never happens.
I know, it's perfection. Yeah. All the time, always.
We live in a perfect world. Sun's always shining, and it's never too hot or too cold.
You have to get out of the heat more often, okay? Something's frying your brain. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite RSS feed or Apple Podcasts. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review on Apple Podcasts or whichever app you use to listen to us, because those reviews really do help other kinksters find us.
Yeah.
I've had people message me and go, oh, I saw a review. I found you. I like your show. And I said, thank you. Modestly, because that's how I roll, right? Yeah. I only cheered where nobody could hear me or see me. Okay. You can follow the show
That's what that noise was.
Yes, that's that random squeeing. That's what that is. You can follow the show on Twitter at LovingBDSM or on FetLife at LovingBDSMPC. Yes, PC for podcast, y'all. Podcast. LovingBDSMPC. All links are in the show notes. So I got a couple of announcements, but they're kind of quick for once instead of like long, huge explanations.
Yay.
I know. So the first one is, this show goes live on September 1st.
Correct.
We are not recording, clearly, on September 1st.
No.
So for everybody who's chomping at the bit to find out who won the giveaway, our two-year anniversary giveaway, you gotta wait. I don't know yet. At the time of this recording...
We don't know. It's still a mystery.
It's still technically open. There are people still entering. Even though I keep forgetting to tweet it out because I'm an awful, awful podcast giveaway host. Person. Thankfully, Rabbit Heart like put something out. She's like, last day to enter. I'm like, yes, thank you. And then I retweeted, and then there was some like flirting with gifts, and it was great. So yes, the giveaway.
Dang, I missed the good stuff.
You missed
when
all
I'm out
the good
the
stuff. I know. You've got to come inside a little bit more often. dust off the man glitter over there. So for anybody who's like just dying to know, we will be through the power of the internet and technology. Deciding on the winter, not winter, gosh, winner, chicken dinner. Technology.
No, we're not having chicken for dinner.
No, damn it. Technology will pick the winner for us randomly, and we will notify that winner, and if they agree to it, we will announce who that winner is on the next episode. Okay, there, I said it, I did it. And for anybody who goes, oh, but I wanted to win, if you're not the winner, and you'll know soon enough, we do have another giveaway coming up. That will be our 100th episode giveaway. And we will announce it during the 100th episode, and then it'll run a couple of weeks, so you'll have time. So that's coming up, too, so don't despair. The other thing is we just want to remind people that we do have a shop on Redbubble where you can get Loving BDSM swag.
Yeah, cool stuff.
I know, and it doesn't. We don't have anything with our logo on it, which we do need to correct, but... So we have what I would consider like safe stuff that you could get and you would know and we would know and we would be very appreciative. But nobody knows it's your kinky stuff. So it's Coffee is My Love Language and Proud Cricket. And we've put Coffee is My Love Language on all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Like notebooks and pillows and stickers. Oh,
same thing with Proud Cricket.
I know, but Coffee is My Love Language is a little bit more popular, I think.
Yeah.
And speaking of that.
I don't know. Don't tell the crickets that. They might rise up.
Most of the crickets are having their own caffeine infusion, whether it's coffee or something else. As they listen, they totally get it. They know I love them. And we are in talks with our wonderful keychain maker that we mentioned on last week's episode. And so we might be working something else out for that. Now, that would not actually be sold through Redbubble. That would come through probably the Kayla Lords site.
Right, yeah.
We might figure out a way to do it through Loving BDSM. Either way. So yeah, keychains are coming. And I have talked to him. I don't have a cost yet, but I have said, can I have a keychain? Not me personally, but can we sell a keychain that says coffee is my love language? Because how cool is that?
Right.
So yeah, that's all coming. So if you're like, I want to have a thing, and yes, coffee is my love language, and oh, I'd really love to support those crazy kids at Loving BDSM, our Redbubble shop is waiting for you. There's a link lovingbdsm.net that's just says shop. Just mm-hmm. click that. It'll take you there. And there's a link in the show notes. So, and I'm going to start getting better at tweeting that kind of stuff out. I've been really bad about that.
It's not like we haven't been busy.
I'm only managing 4 websites. I don't know what's wrong with me. So yeah, so that's there. And we would love if you would take a look at our shop. And if you go to redbubble.com, you can just do a search for Loving BDSM. Unless yeah. you've got safe search on, then we probably won't come up.
No.
I set us as mature just in case.
Never know.
You never know. Okay, so that's that. And we will have a bonus section at the end where we like randomly talk about stuff. But yeah, let's actually get into the show and it not take me 20 minutes to get there.
Woohoo!
I know! Look at us! This is awesome.
Wow.
So
all professional and everything.
Well, no, let's not go that far. Let's not be crazy. So the topic, I cannot remember if it was one of those random ideas that came to me or if somebody requested it, but it's been on our list for forever.
For a while.
Mm-hmm. And I get to like archive it off of my Trello list now.
Yes.
For the Trello junkies out there, uh-huh. they get a little thrill when you just say Trello. I think every time you say Trello, a type A kinkster like gets a wing or something. I don't know.
I just like saying the name Trello. It rolls off the tongue.
Oh, and we're going down a windy, windy path right now. How about we talk about the topic? Oh, okay. Look at us. Okay.
See how easily things can go wrong?
Yeah, right? Y'all, if you're new, hang around. We'll take another random path later. It won't take long. But I don't want to just talk about when a good scene goes bad, which it can do. I think the first thing to say is, even with your best intentions and your best plans, things can happen in your kinky scene you did not anticipate.
Correct.
And that you're thinking, what the fuck just happened?
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about how to sort of recover from some of that.
Yeah.
But I wanted to make sure we mentioned how to make sure that preventable things don't happen. Some stuff is random and accidental. We have a blog post on lovingbdsm.net about things that can accidentally screw your scene up that you didn't know were going to happen, and now you have to deal with them. And we'll link to that in the show notes. But there are things that are preventable. And if you do the right things before you set your kinky scene, then you have a better chance of either not having anything wild happen that you didn't mean to happen, mm-hmm. or recovering quickly and easily when something does go wrong. So it's important to know that, weird stuff can happen in your scene that you did not see coming, but some stuff you can prevent. So the first thing that came to my mind, I made a list because I was trying to pretend I was professional. that we're organized podcasters. About enthusiastic and informed consent. Like it is something we talk all the time about consent, but very rarely, I'm just now really starting to write more about it. And I think we haven't really talked about it quite as much as we could. Consent is not just a, yeah, sure. I mean, it can be, but when you're about to go into this kinky thing, and remember we did the episode on kinky scenes about what to call it and how to do it. And you might not call it a scene. You might call it playtime. It might be a 15-minute thing that you're planning or a 2-hour thing that you're planning. In the context of what we're talking about here, we mean any and all of that. It doesn't matter how you set it up or how long or how extreme or how. This applies to all of that. Any type of scene, no matter what you call it. And I will link to the previous episode in the show notes as well. But when we were talking about getting consent to even have the scene or do the kinky thing you want to try, like when we try a new paddle or a new flogger or a new cane or a new whatever, it's not just about getting a lot of people, the old school way of thinking about consent, and there are people who still think of it this way, and I think they're wrong, is that as long as somebody doesn't say no, that is consent. And consent is an active yes. It's saying, yes, I would like to do this thing with you. Let us go and do this thing together.
Consent is an ongoing thing.
It is also that. But now we're talking in terms of, I'm going to set this scene with you, and I would like to hit you with this paddle you've never seen before. It's not just enough to get a shrug and a, yeah, I guess. I mean, you can. I know couples who do that. And when you're in a relationship long enough, you kind of get there.
Yeah.
But it's about being informed and enthusiastic. Would you disagree with me?
No, absolutely
you're
not.
Looking at me funny.
Sorry. No, I had a thought running through my head.
Oh, okay. So you weren't listening.
Yeah, I was.
Okay.
I was also spinning a thought at the same time.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, so now, see, we went down that another path. See what happens? Yank me back.
Well, you know, you have to have clear consent before a scene. That's my belief. You know, you need to be clear on a number of things. What if you're talking to somebody, well, you know, I don't know you and we're setting up a scene. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I want to put you on the St. Andrew's cross and I want to spank you. But a real big turn on for me is while I'm spanking you, I want my hand around your throat.
I'm ready to go. That would be a yes.
Okay.
I consent!
But what if you were someone who had breath issues?
Absolutely. Then my job would be to say, I see your St. Andrew's cross, I see your spanking, but you cannot hold my throat in this way, that way, or right. another, or at all.
I mean, go ahead. We'll touch on this later. But yeah, I mean, that's why you need to know. That's why you need to have clear consent.
But see, we talk about that in terms a lot of strangers who meet at the club and they're just going to set up a scene. And I think people feel like they know what that looks like. Mm-hmm. But there is also the enthusiastic and informed consent of people who have been together. Think about our very realistic life, the way this works. Now, I'm going to use a lot of impact play examples because that's kind of our big kink. But this goes for any kind of kinky play, okay? So just like substitute in your mind your favorite thing, okay? So when you get a new paddle, right? Mm-hmm. Or we're shopping out together for a new paddle.
Right.
This is how you handle it, and this is how I believe is a great way to handle it, quite frankly. You might pick it out. You might buy it. You might say, yes, I love this paddle. But before you ever touch me with it, you hand it to me. I hold it in my hand. I can feel every edge. I can feel mm-hmm. the weight. I can take a practice swing if I want. Usually right. on the bed, I'm not hitting anybody with anything. I can comment on the thickness, on the material. I can ask you questions about what do you know about, you know, maybe it's leather versus wood versus whatever else is out there. And then you will, with my consent, even now we've been together all this time, you will still say, hey, is it okay? Or you'll go, turn around and you'll waggle your eyebrows and I know what that means. And then there's a practice swing.
Yeah.
The first time a brand new toy is introduced to me, and I don't mean a new model of the same thing. I mean something completely new. It's not introduced to me mid-scene.
No.
I learned about it long before we use it that
Even
way.
Before it touches you, it touches my forearm.
Exactly. So you understand what it is you've got.
Right.
And then you'll take a practice swing at me, and it's not always mm-hmm. on my ass. If it's an impact play toy, it might be on my arm, it might be on my leg, wherever is appropriate or, you know, whatever's mm-hmm. going on for that situation. And then I get to say, oh, that was a little hard, or, oh, that's got a really sharp sting to it, which tells you, based on the fact that we know each other really well, that, oh, that's got a really sharp sting. She doesn't always love really sharp stings until she's warmed up. So therefore, let me mm-hmm. recalculate how I use this toy. So I have the opportunity at any point to go, I hate that thing, get it away from me. Or I can say, oh, I love it, I can't wait to use it. Or what I think happens a lot is there's a middle ground of, well, it seems nice, but I'm not sure. We'll have to test this out. We need to play with this a little bit. Mm-hmm. Because in that test moment, maybe my head wasn't in the game right. So it felt too stingy. Maybe if you swing too hard, I will dislike it. But if you swing a little bit lighter, I might like it, right?
Right.
So we have the opportunity long before there's ever a, hey, baby girl, bend over. I'm about to paddle your ass. I have a sense of what this toy is. And you mm-hmm. know what my initial impression is.
Right.
That's what I mean. Even in a long term, we don't even really officially seen in that way. We play more than anything. Well, before you try a new, we play with a new toy, we've had this, some sort of interaction like this.
Oh, yeah.
I am well aware of what we've got. I know how I feel about it. We've talked about it. I've held it in my hands. Nothing is a complete and total shock to me.
Correct.
So then I can give you informed and enthusiastic consent.
Yeah.
Now, I do want to kind of give a caveat to enthusiastic consent. I'm a massive, massive believer in enthusiastic mm-hmm. consent. But I think it's also realistic to admit that a lot of what we do in kink scenes are experimentations of some sort. You think you might be interested in something and you're unsure. As a submissive, sometimes I'm not engaging in a scene because I really love it when you do that thing to me, and I'll use caning as the perfect example. Mm-hmm. I don't let myself get caned because I love the cane. I actually don't like the cane.
No.
I like serving you in that way. I'm getting off on doing this thing that's difficult for me, but that you enjoy. I'm getting off on the fact that you know that if you get me deep enough into this scene where I'm really zoned out and relaxed, it might not be subspace, but I'm really relaxed. You can use the cane and then you can have fun with it. So there's...
And then come the end, you like the marks that leaves.
And then later I like the marks. I might not really like the toy, but I might I will enjoy the end result. So there's this... When we talk about enthusiastic consent, I don't want anybody to feel that they can't do anything that they're not 100% sure they're going to love. There's a lot you're not going to be confident that you're going to like. You're trying it as an experiment. You think you might like it, but it's making you unsure. You realize you don't love it. It's not something you would ask for, but you will allow it to happen because it pleases your partner, and that is what you enjoy. I don't think anybody should be guilted into doing something that pleases their partner just for the sake of it.
No, if it's a hard limit, no, you should never be guilted into
even
it.
Even if it's not a hard limit, you know, if the idea of taking pain, even though you don't enjoy pain for your partner, does not, if the service of that does not turn you on, then you shouldn't do it, and you shouldn't be made to feel like you should do it.
Right.
But when we talk about enthusiastic consent, I think even when you're uncertain of how this moment is going to go, whether it's impact play or bondage or sensation stuff, you're thinking, yes, I'd like hot wax, and get excited. That's great. Or you're thinking, I'm really not sure. I want to try it. I'm desperate to try it, but I'm really uncertain about how I'm going to feel about this.
Mm-hmm.
Or the alternative, and I think this happens a lot, one partner is dying to try something, and the other partner is skeptical, but they're willing. It's the willingness that matters. And then it's later in my my notes, but we can sort of mention it now. It's also the maintaining the open communication so that when you go into that scene and you were uncertain about that thing you wanted to try and you discover, oh no, we've tried this thing and get it away from me. No.
Well,
you then have to talk about
it. And there is a way to mitigate that, which ties in with what we're talking about. Even prior to the scene, say if there's, especially if there's a, say, a paddle that you have never tried, okay? I'm going to try this, baby girl. I want to see how it works, how you feel about it, okay? So I'm going to hit you twice. I want you to give me a number between 1 and 10.
You've done that before. I remember that now.
Okay. 1 being the lightest, 10 being the hardest.
Okay.
That way you get to feel it at its lightest and its hardest.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and that gives a gauge. You know, oh, light feels really good. I could take a little bit more. Oh, 10. Oh, no.
Right. Or you...
So that gives you...
Sure. And you know, and if you start at light and your partner goes, this is as light as I think I could feasibly use this thing.
Yeah.
And you start screaming bloody murder that it's the worst thing ever. Guess what? You found the thing you don't want to do.
Right.
You are now quite informed and you do not consent.
But at least you're not in the middle of a scene and somebody.
Exactly.
You know,
it's right back to that whole concept of do not introduce a brand new toy you've never even talked about with your partner mid scene. Just, I know that there's some people who really like to do that on the edge stuff, some consensual non-consent stuff.
Right, edge play.
I'm not really talking to those people. First of all, I would say if you want to play with that, you have to be an advanced level player, okay? We should not be on first day of BDSM 101 trying any of that. Should also be in extremely established relationships with a lot of trust built up. They don't have to be sexual relationships, but they should be really established. For the average kinkster, please do not introduce a thing that you have never done with your partner or talked about with your partner or even considered with your partner mid-scene. Because you have no way of knowing if, one, you can use it properly, and two, your partner really wants it. And it is a quick way for a what could have been a really decent scene to go absolutely downhill.
Right.
Now, the other thing, and we've kind of talked on this a little bit, to prevent a scene from going wrong, as much as you can prevent these things, because mm-hmm. weird stuff's going to happen no matter what, is you really do have to be honest about your limits. You have yes. to... I know, I hear it mostly from submissives, but I have no doubt it happens with dominance, where one of you is really enthusiastic about this thing you want to try, and mm-hmm. the other person is either less certain, or they just don't want to disappoint their partner. Oh, my partner really wants to try this. Yeah, I really don't, but I feel bad if we don't do it. I will let them down if we don't do it. I mean, think of all the reasons that hit your mind.
Right.
You are going to have to find a way to move past it. You're going to have to be completely honest. And part of that honesty can be, I'm really not sure how I feel about it, but I am willing to try it.
Yeah.
With the caveat that if we try it and I don't like it, we're not doing it. I will not yeah. continue this. We've done that a few times with some, usually with impact play. If you get a really stingy thing, I'll say, this makes me really nervous. I'm not sure I'm going to like it.
Mm-hmm.
I will agree to play after right. we've gone through all our testing and I've touched yeah. it and I have an idea of it, which is usually when I decide or discover I'm not sure if I want to play mm-hmm. with this thing. And then we will go through the experience together. And because of the relationship you and I have and the way we play and you know me so well, I don't think you've ever tested a toy on me like that, where in mid-scene I said, stop, put that thing away, don't ever use it again.
No.
I was able usually to wait till the end of the scene and sort of after we're talking about it later, whether it's later that day or a couple days later, and
the
go.
Debriefing.
The debriefing. Where I could say, I really did not enjoy that very much. Right. Or I think I might enjoy it under these circumstances, which mm-hmm. is how we decided, we figured out how to play with the cane.
Right.
So you don't have to completely give up a cane just because I don't True. Love it. We had to modify how it would work for both of us. So you have to be willing to say, I really don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. Or I don't think I'm going to like that, but I'm willing to try. Or in the case, yeah. we go back to the cane. Remember, y'all, I'm using impact play toys as an example. Please substitute any kinky thing you'd like where I say right. the name of a toy. With the cane, we sort of negotiated it.
Yeah.
I said, you know, I will take it because I know you like it, and so it's part of serving you.
Mm-hmm.
And here, I need it to be more like this. I need you to wait till the end. I need you to go light. I need, you know.
Right.
And you were willing to modify your play, and I was willing to accept something I don't really love because I love serving you, and that's what's right. getting me off in that
and,
moment.
And I'll just throw this in there just as a caveat. I keep a cane or two by the nightstand. They're there, handy, within reach, and they make the perfect deterrence.
You have caned my ass when I have been bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I consent to it. That's part of our dynamic as well. But you have held me down on the bed and given me like two or three swats with it.
Right.
And I never felt like you were holding back. And I was also a really good girl after that.
Yes, you were.
I really am not fond of the cane. So to try and make sure that your scenes go as well as possible.
Right.
Enthusiastic and informed consent,
right,
and being honest about your limits. Even if it's yeah. in mid-scene, you said, okay, I will experiment with this thing, and then you realize you don't like it, you have to say something.
And limits are very important to know before a scene, and that goes hand in hand with understanding someone's triggers.
Yes, because okay. You can accidentally hit an emotional trigger, and that's a whole other thing, but in order to avoid the triggers you can know about,
right,
you need to have these conversations
now,
about limits.
Like, for example, I spoke, a sub I had spoken to a little while ago, she loves belts, okay? You can bind her wrists with a belt, bind her feet with a belt. You can put it around her neck as a leash.
Oh, goodness.
And she is just blissful as can be. Bend her over a bed and try to hit her with a cane.
Oh, belt, you mean?
Belt, yeah. And she's triggered.
Oh, no.
Because as a child, she was hit.
Mm.
So, you know, and that goes back to the same thing with asking for consent to put a hand around your throat.
Right. You don't ever just choke the breath out of somebody without knowing if you can. That's
because
for sure.
Because if that's a trigger, here you are in the middle of a scene. You put your hands around somebody's throat. You hit him with a belt or do something that sets off a trigger. That's an immediate end to a scene.
And so, you know, let's touch on that a little bit. In the blog post I wrote about how a scene can accidentally go wrong when you thought you had everything set up right and oops, something happened in the middle you couldn't foresee.
Right.
That happens. Emotional triggers can happen that way. You don't realize something will affect you on an emotional level in a negative way until it happens.
Now, some people know their triggers.
That was my next point.
Yeah.
If you know there are things that will set you off emotionally and upset you, maybe from past situations that, you know, past kinky scenes where somebody put their hand around your throat and you realized right then that's don't do that, or the belt, or, you know, past abuse you might have experienced that you know that when you are reminded in some way of that, is not good for you.
Right.
The things you know about, you need to talk about.
Yeah.
And if it's been, I know for some kinky couples, you talked about it all in the beginning when everything was new and fresh. And you're like, yes, I want to do this DS thing. Let's talk about everything because that's what Kayla Lords and John Brownstone told me to do. and then you haven't talked about it since. But maybe it's been 6 months or a year since you've done a really in-depth scene and you're talking about some of the things that you'd like to do. It's not wrong to remind your partner about your triggers, especially if it's something that y'all don't talk about in your everyday life very often, or neither of you really think about on a day-to-day basis. Like if it's like, I'll give you an example. We found an accidental trigger for me.
Yes.
Last summer.
Mm-hmm.
If my breath, I enjoy breath play to a certain extent. And I used to enjoy it more than I do now because it is at some level, and I don't know where the line is on the spectrum of breath play, but when we get to a certain point, I go from this is really hot, choke me daddy, to full-blown panic attack.
Right.
And it is not a gradual thing. He squeezes just a little bit too hard, and I'm gone from, hey, this is kinky fun, to just hyperventilating.
Well, there was that one time last year when you had a full-blown panic attack in an instant. We were having some kinky fuckery, and I had you pinned down on the bed, and I lay on top of you.
Yeah, and it was your full weight.
With my full weight.
Oh, my God. And that apparently, that was when we figured it out.
Right.
But the point is, and then my point to all that is that because we don't play with breath play every time, sometimes I have to give you a reminder that that's too much. That's too much. And I get nervous. Now, we have tells between one another. You'll put your hand around my throat, and as long as you're at a certain point, I'm cool. And then I can feel your muscles start to tense when you start to squeeze.
Right.
And I will pull my head back, and that's now our sign to let you know. But that's the thing. Talking about your trigger one time 5 years ago, 6 months ago, is necessary and good, and I'm glad you've done it. That does not mean that you should not, from time to time, especially when you're setting a scene, remind your partner. It might not always be top of mind, especially if they have never witnessed you get triggered like that. If they don't have some experience with whatever it is that can cause that emotional reaction. It's not just about your hard limits of you cannot touch me with this kind of toy. It's also if you do this thing or if I'm reminded of this situation, I may have a bad reaction, which will kill your scene.
And at that point, when you were triggered that time...
Oh, gosh.
That was the end.
Yeah, we couldn't go on after that.
That was one of those times. Everything came to a dead stop. Full-on aftercare to take care of you.
Yeah.
And
then you needed your own reassurance later that you had not broken me.
Yes.
that you could, you were still my daddy and we could still do kinky things together later.
Yeah, because that's a big thing. One, you had the trigger, and two, it was me who did it.
Right.
So, I needed some reassurance as well.
And it's funny. It's one of those things that when I listed in the blog post the link in the show notes, when I talked about emotional triggers as an accidental thing, it is sometimes something that you genuinely do not know is going to affect you. I have always had a certain amount of nervousness about not being able to breathe. Little FYI about me, I cannot swim. Okay, did not learn as a child, didn't have access to learn as a child. And by the time I got older, I'm neurotic and I'm anxious. I've got like a laundry list of things. So guess who's not going to learn to swim now? But I, for years, could not even go, and still now can't really do it, can't go into a body of water, a pool or the ocean or wherever, and allow the water to go up to around my neck. For years, I couldn't wear a turtleneck. I did not like wearing turtleneck shirts because I didn't like that sensation of something around my neck. And I had not ever forgotten that I didn't like that sensation. But when you and I got kinky and you put your hand around my throat, the pressure, the amount of pressure you used in those times was actually comforting. And it felt dirty. It felt naughty. Yeah. It felt perverse to allow somebody to squeeze my neck. And that was such a turn on that my mind didn't make the connection.
Yeah.
But when I went through a period last summer with all that anxiety, undiagnosed anxiety that I was dealing with, my brain didn't register it the same way. And just enough added weight or added squeeze and force behind it was enough to take me to another place.
Yeah.
So that's only one example of how it could happen where you might have had a thing that made you nervous, but you never imagined it could trigger a physical or emotional response from you. You can't possibly talk about those things if you don't know them. But if you know that there are things you just cannot handle, there's no shame in that and you have to talk about it.
It has to be talked about.
If you don't talk about it, it is possible that your scene will have to come to a dead stop.
Right.
And you'll have to go through that emotional experience when it could have potentially been avoided.
I mean, there could very well be triggers that you don't know about. And, you know, what we do in the things that we do
in
kink, in this kind of play, you know, it's physical, but you're also in somebody's mind.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you could very easily step on a hidden landmine.
Absolutely.
You know, it is possible. It can happen. It has happened. And, you know, you got to be able to handle it.
So that sort of segues into the other part of this conversation, which is, okay, you've done all your preparations. You think everything is going to be great for this scene. Everybody's excited. Here we go. And in the middle of the scene, weird shit happens. And the moment is lost, and the energy you were feeling is like dead. Somebody's crying in a bed or on a spanking bench or something is going on, and the scene is just in shambles around you.
Yeah.
Okay, so that can be from a whole bunch of things. You hit a hard limit that you didn't know existed.
Right.
You played too hard, and you caused bad kind of pain. Not everybody enjoys pain, so sometimes you thought you were doing something that was kind of sexy and you caused pain to a person who's not a masochist and does not get turned on by that. Or you could be a masochist and go, that is one level of pain too many. You're going to have to back that up. We talk about in the blog post of accidental stuff, muscle spasms and cramps, which totally happen. Emotional triggers, of course. Getting frustrated. Interruptions. That was the other one in the blog post. Yeah. Interruptions, you know. Interruptions at a BDSM club, I would be pissed. I would be talking to somebody later.
They don't happen often.
They don't.
But
and it's usually an overly enthusiastic newbie who just doesn't know better, but it's still frustrating.
Right.
But if you're at home, it can be interruptions from a sick kid or the phone ringing.
It can be the phone or the doorbell.
Yes. How many times have we been naked in the doorbells?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Not that you are required to answer the door, by the way.
But still, it kind of, you know,
but it can
brings everything to a halt.
Right. And you're pulled out of the moment. So
right.
What you're going to do about that depends on how pulled out of the moment you are. If it's a momentary thing where you kind of go, oh, wait, there's real life around me, it might take you a few minutes to get back into the rhythm. Always check on each other. Make sure you're not so far out of the scene and back into reality that the mood's gone. That's not
exactly.
That can happen, and it's no fun. So if it's just a minor thing, you know, the doorbell rang or you swung a little hard with that flogger and your partner's like, yeah, get that away from me. Put that flogger down. Do something else. But if for the most part everything is mostly okay, check on each other.
Yeah.
And then if you can't, you might not be able to pick up where you left off.
No.
You know, with the exact same thing you were doing, but you can still keep moving forward.
You can still keep moving forward. You know, I've done it a few times. I've hit you too hard.
Yeah.
Okay. And at that point, I stop, you know, stroke her hair.
I like it when you stroke my hair, Daddy.
You doing okay, baby?
Oh, I'm doing really good now.
Okay. You know, rub her butt a little bit where I hit her and kind of soothe it.
I would totally like a kinky scene now, Daddy. My eyes won't stay. When he won't stop rubbing my hair, in a second I'm going to pull my butt out and see if I can get some butt rubs. Now you know how to get me to stop talking in a show. Just
yeah.
Stroke my hair.
But you do those things, and you, those are the things that help you work through and bring you back into it. Probably starting where you left off, no, but you can always pick up the pace again.
Exactly. And if you were playing with sort of an array of toys, maybe you put that toy to the side and go to the next one once you're sure your partner's ready. Now, what I would say, I'm going to try and say this a couple of times for the rest of this episode, but your submissives, your dominant or your top, if it's a temporary play thing at a club or something, they should check on you, right? And make sure you're okay to keep going. What I would recommend, even though it's a minor interruption, after the scene, after you're sort of back to yourself, it might be the same day, it might be the next day when you can talk again, who knows? Check in with your dominant and make sure they're okay, because what can happen is if it was a misstep where they swung too hard or the flogger went wild and hit a bad spot or something that they were doing did not go according to plan and it caused you pain or it pulled you out of the scene, that can affect their confidence, okay? And they kind of need to hear from you that, one, you're okay, and two, that things are okay between you.
Yeah.
So check on your dominant partner so that they know things are good and that they did not somehow break their toy.
True. And, you know, we've talked a lot about the scene going wrong from a sub's end. But you know what, Big D's?
It can go wrong for you guys.
It can go wrong for you, for us too.
For a lot of the same reasons. Something could be a limit you didn't even know was a limit. Something could be a trigger that you didn't know was a trigger.
Exactly. I know I've talked about this, but this was a very big trigger for me at one point. After my sister died, it was a little while since we had played and you talked me into going to the club and you weren't totally wrong. I did need to get out and we started playing. And at first everything was going very well. I was having a good time. The music was thumping and I was thumping and you were being thumped and
there was so much thumping going on.
Right. And as I got into it, I found that I was getting angry. And I stopped. I stopped. I took you down off of the hooks. And I was just like, we're done. I cannot do this. Because as I felt that anger starting to build, I was afraid that I would just let it out the wrong way.
Right. No, I get that. And that's where, you know, dominants already have a lot of responsibility, but you do have to have the ability to know yourself and to can have enough self-control that when you feel something happening that is not what you wanted for this scene or this moment with your partner, that you have enough self-control to stop. We haven't talked about this in a long time, and maybe we're due for another topic on it, but one of the things that a submissive does need to look for in their dominant is how much self-control that person has.
Absolutely.
Because if you are with somebody who can just, I don't want to say go crazy because I am crazy. I've been diagnosed, but I don't want to use
the tested.
I've been tested. I don't want to use that word in a pejorative manner, but somebody who loses control at the drop of a hat, they get super angry over nothing, or they lash out for no reason. Those people are not people I would hand a kinky toy to and say, have at me. Like, It's okay to have those moments where you lash out, assuming you really do manage some control over yourself, but that's really rare.
Right.
So it's important for dominants to recognize when something is happening to them that does not help the scene, that could hurt things. It's also important for submissives when you're sort of out there perusing potential dominance that that person has some amount of self-control over themselves.
Right.
Because if they can't control themselves, how the hell are they supposed to control you?
Yeah.
So, yes, I think that's a very good point to make. So that is a perfect example of you felt anger rising that didn't fit with the moment that could have become really bad, and you stopped mid-scene and we were done. I was very disappointed until he explained to me later.
Yeah.
If I recall correctly, I think I was still mumbling about, am I still going to get my frappe?
Yes.
You know, priorities.
All right.
And I do remember being disappointed, because what I remember about that, and I didn't understand it until you talk to me about it and what was happening, was I could feel the energy change.
Right.
And you are a sadist and I am a masochist. And the one place we don't tend to go and play, we don't play too hard in, is allowing you to allow your full sadist out, where not only is the masochist side of me enjoying a certain level of pain, but the submissive side of me is accepting, is being pushed to my edge.
Yeah.
And that's where, in that moment, I thought we were going, because I could feel that energy change between us, because your anger was starting to come out and I was getting all like, ooh, this is going to be hot. And it had to stop. And at the time I was disappointed.
Right.
But when we talked about it later, it was, thank you.
Right.
Thank you for taking care of both of us that way.
Yes.
Because think about it from a dominant perspective. If you don't have that self-control and you let yourself lash out that way, you then also, not only have you potentially hurt your partner and damaged the connection you have, you then have to live with knowing you did that to your partner.
Right.
And there, depending on what happens, there may be no coming back from that. So, yeah. So, so that's one thing. If a dominant's responsibility, if they feel it within themselves, or if you realize something's happening to your submissive that was unintended, you stop. It just stops.
Yeah.
Submissives, sometimes your partner is not aware that you are having a breakdown because you got triggered. They are not aware that they hit you too hard and you found the limit of how you will handle certain types of play, right? You have to find a way to speak up. And I say that knowing that the caveat is, if you are so far gone into subspace or just into the endorphin high, even if it's not what you would call subspace, that is difficult to do. That's why it is on a dominant to constantly check in with a partner.
Yeah.
And if, you know, your rule is, if I'm not responding, you're stopping.
Exactly. There have been a couple times when we played at the club, and I always check in with you for a color.
Mm-hmm.
We use the green, yellow, red.
Mm-hmm. I get creative when I'm... I don't want you to stop, but I want you to stop using that toy. Greeny, yellow.
Yellowy, red.
Yellowy, greenish. I've done orange.
Yes. But if she can't give me a color,
then we have to stop.
Then we stop.
But if I can speak, and here's the reason I'm saying this to submissives, because what happens to some submissives, I am one of them, I get it, is that you are afraid that by saying, I can't handle this thing in this moment, that everything stops, or that you have disappointed your partner, that you have disappointed your dom. Guess what's going to be really disappointing to your dominant? To know that they kept playing and you were miserable. And if your dom is not disappointed in that, get a new dom.
Yeah. There's always other times to play.
Right. Right. If the whole purpose of the scene is mutual pleasure on some level, okay, you're both getting off on this in some way, whatever your play is, bondage, sensation play, impact play, weird role play that y'all know how I feel about role play. whatever it is, and you have hit a limit, your mind is freaking out because it took you someplace you didn't mean to go, whatever, and you don't say anything, and they find out later, How can they trust you next time to tell them?
Right. It's a breach of trust, and that's not, that makes it hard to recover.
So as long as you are physically capable of saying something, it might not, you know, we talk about safe words a lot, and I have learned over the years, when I first started in kink, I thought, well, a safe word, that's just the thing. You just have a safe word and you don't have to worry about it. Well, the reality is that sometimes you can't speak. Sometimes your mind is so far gone, you can't even think of your safe word. I am a huge advocate of the way you handle things, of the dominant being the one to check in. Right. I promise you, the question, if said in sort of a straight vanilla way, doesn't sound that sexy, but in the middle of the scene, when his lips are millimeters away from my ear and his breath is, oh God, he just pulled my hair.
Baby girl. give me a color.
Oh God, and I'm like squirming over here. I promise you it's sexy, is my whole point. I promise you it's sexy. So, what were we talking about? My nipples are hard. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Daddy. Oh, no, he's playing with them. We're supposed to be doing a show over here. So dominance is sexy. Submissives, it won't break the mood. My point is if you are physically capable of saying something, you need to. There is no need to continue a scene that is not good, that's not going the way you anticipated it going, and is now an awful thing that you just can't wait for it to be over. Now, I do want to put in, God, there's caveats to everything.
Of course.
I want to put in the caveat that some people, this goes back to what we said earlier in the episode, some people play on the edge. And one of my fantasies, I don't know if it'll ever be made reality, but one of my fantasies is to be, with impact play especially, be pushed to the beyond my point of endurance, to truly have a scene where I just take it no matter how hard it is or how painful it is or how rough it is. That's a different kind of scene, but even within that scene, you have every right, submissives of the world, to say, we've gone too far. I cannot continue this. So I want to throw that out, that some people do play that way.
We came close to doing that one night.
We did?
Yeah. Remember we had company down from up north?
Mm-hmm.
And we took them to the club
and
we played that night. You were heard over the music outside.
That's true. I was screaming like a banshee.
Loving every minute of it.
But see, in that case, I was loving every minute of it. And some people I know, cause I've talked to them and I've seen them, they like to play on the edge to the point where they really are in physical pain. It is beyond the point of good pain. But for them, the kink of it is the endurance of it. That's a different kind of play, and that's not what we're talking about. But even if you want to play on the edge like that, again, please don't be at BDSM 101 and think you need to play like that. Please get some experience under your belt first. But even those people deserve a way to make this stop.
Yeah.
Where we've gone the point of I'm trying to endure and isn't that cool to serve and submit in this way and ooh, I'm getting a couple of kinks taken care of, to the point of this could be potentially not only physically damaging but mentally and emotionally damaging. So, but the vast majority of the scenes out there are meant for mutual pleasure of some sort, and both of you should be getting something out of it. And y'all, you know, when you've hit a limit, it's a visceral reaction. It's the way I know something is a limit. It's the way I know something is a limit anyway. We talk about scat, okay?
Yeah.
Poop. I have had my hands in poop because I'm a mother with two small boys, okay?
Yeah.
The first time I heard the word scat, and when I think I know what scat is, and then I realized what scat was, it was...
Not talking Scatman Crothers here.
Right. Oh, you're showing your age there. So let me preface this with your kink is not my kink, but your kink is okay. If you were into scat, more power to you. I had a physical recoil from the idea of it, right? Yeah. So some things you know just upon hearing what it is. Oh my God, hell no. Sometimes it's not until you experience it and you physically, or even in your mind or somewhere deep inside, you are recoiling from it. It's a visceral thing. If you are a mid-scene and that happens to you, throw up the white flag, scream your safe word, hit your partner. I don't care what you do. Get the attention of your partner. Say something, because here's the problem. The scene has now gone wrong in the sense that you hit a limit you didn't even know you had, by continuing forward, you've like ruined that. You have not ruined that scene. That scene is ruined.
Right.
It is much better to stop. Because see, here's what happens. This is the part we haven't quite gotten to. Once you stop the scene, okay, for whatever reason has come up, okay, all the reasons we've talked about, we don't have to even mention any of those reasons anymore. The scene has now been stopped. It does not mean that that scene has to be over for the session that you're in. Sometimes it does.
Yeah.
Sometimes the emotional trigger is just too much. Sometimes, like in your case, you were too angry. There was no continuing.
Correct.
Sometimes somebody does get hurt. I promise you, when I've gotten a Charlie horse in the middle of rough play, I need a break. I need butt rubs at that point.
And Big D's, you can get a cramp or Charlie horse too. You're swinging the paddle. You're swinging a flogger.
Right. It can happen. Anything can happen. So here we are. We've started the scene. Something went wrong. Unanticipated. You've had to stop things. What next? Okay, we'll keep moving this train along as slowly as possible. as long as it doesn't derail. So the first thing is always to whoever needed it to stop, you check on that person. Sometimes it's a dominant, sometimes it's submissive. You turn to the one who is pretty much fine and just wondering what happened. Turns to the other one and says, are you okay? What do you need?
Right.
Sometimes it's cuddles and hugs. Sometimes it's to cry. Sometimes it's an ice pack.
Right.
You know, sometimes it's simply to say, never touch me with that thing again, ever. Burn it in a fiery grave. I never want to see it again. It is okay if that is your reaction. So you do stop and you assess the situation.
Right.
From there, once you've realized what happened, what's wrong, what is the person who needed things to stop, what do they need?
Mm-hmm.
From there, then you can decide what you do next. So, when it goes really wrong, like really, really wrong, it's going to be some aftercare, like some immediate, cuddles and hugs and here's some water. And that is for either side of the slash, y'all. Right. If your dominant, pulled their back out because you got a little too carried away with your kink, you might need to tuck them into bed, okay?
Yeah. And, here's something, too, on that. There are times I give you a spanking with the end result being that you need to cry, okay? And we do those at home.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I'll be spanking her. I know the goal is to get her to cry because that's what she needs.
Mm-hmm.
Once you start crying, I stop.
Right.
Now, the caveat to that is if we're playing at the club, when we're playing at the club and doing a scene there, you don't cry.
No, I don't want to have an emotional release in the middle of all those people.
That's not that type of emotional release play that we do there.
No.
So I know if we're at the club and you were to start crying, something's wrong.
Right.
And we're stopping. You need to look at different signals.
And that's another thing. Some of these things you will learn about each other over time. The more you play... Right. In different ways, the more you'll learn about each other. When in doubt, dominance, check in with your partner. Ask, can I keep going? Are you okay? Give me a color. Whatever your way of doing it is. You will get to a point where most of the time, you will know your partner's signals really, really well. Now, submissives, that's when it's on us. If we feel like our partner knows our signals really well, and we're experiencing a thing that is not... it's not a good thing, and they're not stopping, it means they don't know that signal, or they are not seeing it, which is why we have to say something. The more you play with one another, the more you know what should happen by the culmination of a scene. So, like, when we do play in the club, the point is to see how loud I will scream.
Right.
It's why we like to go to the club to play. It's our one chance to get really... wild
and crazy.
Right, because we can't, at home, it's got to be really muted, and it's got to be, okay, we're not going to make the neighbors call the cops on us, are we? We're not going to wake the kids up, are we? But at the club, it's, free-for-all. Get as loud as you want, get as intense as you want. So, you know if what reaction I should be having.
Right.
You know what the expected reaction is. We both know because we communicated and it was informed and consent right. prior to playing, we know what we want to get out of this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you can tell if things aren't going well that maybe you need to stop and take a break. And sometimes, y'all, it is truly just a break. So I was thinking earlier when I was thinking about the episode of, you know, what about scenes that are going wrong, but they're not ruined. They're just had an oopsie. Okay. So my, I had two examples in my head, and one is mm-hmm. about when we do impact play. So you try this new paddle on me, this pretend right. paddle we were talking about in the beginning, and I don't like it. And I'm not having a good reaction to it. That does not necessarily mean he has to stop everything. He does need to right. stop and check in with me.
Mm-hmm.
But what he can usually do, as long as everything's mostly okay, he can put that paddle to the side and go get something else.
Right.
And then the other one I was thinking of was bondage. So some people start off with bondage. They don't necessarily, and I don't necessarily recommend you just go straight for rope. But some people, if mm-hmm. if you're good with your hands, okay, go for it. But they start off with like handcuffs, or they start off with a scarf or bondage tape.
Yeah.
Which we still haven't tried yet.
I know.
And then they're like, oh, well, I feel really, you know, my partner really likes being bound and I feel mm-hmm. comfortable binding them. So let's move this up to rope.
Right.
And you watch some videos and you try, you know, the top or the dominant to try some ties on their own. And then here you are and you're playing with your partner. And next thing you know, you're all thumbs and there's just miles of rope and you feel like you're about to strangle yourself with rope. Right. You're getting frustrated. It's now not fun for anybody. Well, guess what? Dominants, tops, whatever. Put the rope to the side and get out the old thing that you have always played with.
Right.
What I like to think of, and we've never talked about it as something that we consciously do, but it is how we play. When we're trying something new, it is rarely new in isolation. It is usually part of like a whole spectrum of things. So when mm-hmm. we try something new, the thing we already know we enjoy is almost always right there within reach.
Yes.
And that's the thing I would recommend. When you're going to try a new toy or you're going to try a new activity, keep what you know works close by
right.
so that if you realize, hey, this new thing in this scene we're trying is not sexy. It's not fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm frustrated. Nobody's having, you know, a good time. You can just put that to the side real quick.
Right.
No problem. And go back to what works.
And another way to mitigate that too is, speaking of rope, if you're not, And you don't have to be a rope master, but a lot of times with rope, before I ever introduce certain things into a scene, I will practice on you.
Oh, sure.
You. Okay?
Sure, yeah.
Go lay on the bed.
Right. I've got some rope work I want to do. And
I want to try something.
It's not a scene, I promise you.
No, it's not a scene. But I'll have her go in the room and pull out the rope. And I'll
play
with the tie.
Right. But I think is a great way to learn any new thing. I mean,
right.
we practice that with impact play toys.
Yeah.
God knows you love to torture me with a damn Wartenberg wheel.
Yeah.
Just to go, oh, we haven't used this in a while. Let me run this across your skin and practice with air quotes around practice. Pfft. Yeah, I know your game.
Yeah, let me tell you something, folks. There was a time at club. We were joined by Master Michelle, and she had two Wartenberg wheels, one on each side of her body, and this little baby girl was just floating in subspace.
Let me explain to you why. I had two dominants that make me very happy in different ways, showing me nothing but attention. I had four hands on my body. We really were doing impact play, and they were torturing me with a Wartenberg wheel, but by then, I didn't give a fuck, okay? I just wanted all of their attention. So, okay, we know you've tried to make sure the scene doesn't go wrong in the
right.
first place. You have discovered that something is not going the way you anticipated, and you have stopped and you have checked in. Sometimes that scene has to be over, as we've discussed. Sometimes you can keep going. When you're completely done, once everything is over and done with for the session, the evening, whatever, you're
mm-hmm.
curled in bed together, however that works for you, the thing to do next is to check in with each other.
Right.
You need to talk about what happened. You don't want to pretend it didn't happen. You don't want to internalize any feelings of blame.
Right.
this can happen to both submissives and dominants. Submissives will internalize a sense of, I should have been able to take more. And in retrospect, when you're out of the scene, you'll start telling yourself, maybe I could have taken more. Maybe I could have lasted a few more minutes. No, the reaction you had in the moment was an honest reaction. Maybe another time you can handle more, but that moment you couldn't. It's okay. But dominants have the same problem. Uh-oh, I hit them wrong. Uh-oh, the flogger landed wrong. Uh-oh, right. I tied that knot too tight. Maybe I should just never tie another knot ever. I mean, right. So if you don't talk about these things, they just build up.
And each time is different, okay? To say that you couldn't handle something at some point, there's nothing wrong with that. Mm-mm. Because there are a lot of things that affect that.
Right.
Okay? You could have had a really, really bad day, mm-hmm. okay? And your mind emotionally is not in that right place.
Absolutely.
Okay. It's important to let your partner know if you're not feeling well.
Absolutely. Before the scene ever begins.
Before the scene ever begins. If you have any physical disabilities. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you've got bad knees.
Right. Your partner definitely needs to know about that.
Don't expect them to kneel.
Right.
If at all, for any length of time.
But on the other side of that, I know you have a bad back. I know you have to be careful. Guess what? You are never going to pick me up and have me and hold me up in the air while you fuck me like they do in porn. Like, that's not going to happen.
I miss that.
And if you... apparently, that was before my time. And if you try it on me, you're going to hurt yourself. So it can happen.
Right.
Right. So point is, okay, you've gone through everything. You have stopped. You can't... It's going to be difficult for some of you. I get it. You're going to feel whatever you feel, a sense of shame, a sense of hurt, a sense of worry, whatever your emotions are, they are valid emotions, but you have got to talk about it. You don't necessarily have to talk about it the day of the scene. Maybe it's too soon to process.
Right.
You have to talk about it at some point. You have to be open and honest about it, because it is very possible that you are sitting there internalizing some sense of blame, and so is your partner.
And sometimes it takes days to talk about it. When you had that panic attack,
oh yeah,
for at least a week, but we were talking through it.
Exactly. And every single day, even when we weren't actively talking about it, you were, are you okay? Is everything
right,
okay?
Right, I was checking in with you.
Exactly. And that goes to both sides, okay? Submissives, we should definitely expect it from our dominant partners. We take the brunt of a lot of rough play. But we still need to do it, especially when a scene goes wrong. We still need to check in with our dominants and make sure that they are okay. And that they are not internalizing any blame or anxiety or worry or shame.
Right.
Okay? These things happen. We are all human. Mistakes get made. As long as they are not intentional mistakes and they are things that you can see in the future, oh, this is where we went wrong. We can prevent this from happening again. And sometimes the way to prevent it from happening again is you don't play like that again. Maybe you hit a limit. Well, now you know a limit. You won't play that way. You'll play in another way. And I want to say this out loud because I don't think it gets said out loud. I don't think I've ever heard it before. I'm sure it's been said, but I didn't hear it. If a scene goes wrong, you did not fail at kink, at BDSM, at sceneing, at being a submissive, at being a dominant. It is not a failure. A scene going wrong, if you went into it with the best of intentions and you did what you thought was right the whole way through and things still went wrong, that's life. That is not a failure on your part.
Oh, yeah.
And if you...
Caca happens.
Exactly. If you are willing to talk about it with each other and you're willing to be honest with each other about what you want and what you do think went wrong and to correct any mistakes that did happen, because mistakes will happen, y'all. Even if they're unintentional, they're still mistakes and they should still be corrected.
Yeah.
You're not failing at BDSM.
No.
Okay? That was a bad moment and now you need to move forward.
Right.
Maybe a little bit more slowly, certainly more carefully. Make sure everybody's on the same page before you get started again. But you can, if you want to, you can move forward and have more but different kinky scenes in the future.
Yeah.
So there.
That's that.
That's that. That's what I was thinking. That's what I was thinking.
Actually, there's probably still more can be talked about.
Oh my gosh, yes, we could talk for a long time, but I don't think anybody wants us to talk for a long time.
No.
What I would love from our kinky listeners is your feedback. Like, have you had a scene that just went wildly wrong? You did not anticipate any of it. Right. And how did you recover?
How did you recover?
What did you find in sort of the post-mortem of it? Were there things that were preventable that you learned from the experience? Everything we do, good scene, not so good scene, is a learning experience to know what to do going forward.
Right.
So I would love to hear from you guys. We are not the only ones who've had leg cramps, panic attacks, emotional triggers. We are not the only ones.
No.
It happens to everybody. And if you are sitting here thinking, oh, that last really bad scene, I rushed in and it wasn't a good partner for me, or I wasn't honest about my limits, or I didn't communicate enough, you're not alone. You are not the only one who's gone through that either.
What does that saying go? The best laid plans of mice and men.
Yeah, I think we're showing our age there too. Mm. That's okay though. So we'd love to hear from you.
We're well read.
We'll go with that. We're well read. So we would love to hear from you guys. Reach out to us on FetLife, Loving BDSM PC. Reach out to us on Twitter at Loving BDSM. Reach out to us through the website, lovingbdsm.net. There is a contact button there. We would love to hear from you, because we can always learn from each other.
Right.
And if you are a member of the community, eventually I'll get this episode posted in the forum. And then you can talk about it there. But yeah, it's okay. Admit that really weird thing happened and let's talk about how you recovered from it or what you think you could have done better and you now know for future scenes. So,
right.
Yeah, I think that's
good.
It. We're gonna have a bonus section. Don't worry. My crickets. Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
We good?
Vaguely.
All right.
Keep it kinky, y'all. We'll see you next week. Can I? Please? Please?
Baby girl.
Please, Daddy.
Baby girl.
Please. Think of the crickets. The crickets. The crickets are waiting. The crickets love us.
Baby girl.
Please, Daddy. Please. Please. Please.
Man, I know you can beg better than that.
I'm more worried about the crickets turning off the episode.
Go ahead.
Thank you. And I would like to say, if you heard me gasp like a minute ago, right before he said keep it kinky, I thought he was about to pinch my nipple. Your finger I'm not wearing a bra. Your finger grazed my nipple. And I was like, anticipating this massive pinch while I'm supposed to say keep it kinky. So that's why.
Mind fuck.
I know, right? Okay, so actually we have a fairly short bonus section today, but a good one.
We have a postcard.
We have a postcard, and we have... Yes. The funny thing is, I checked the box, and we have a postcard, which is fine, but we also have two boxes that I could not get at the time. The post office was not open, so I have packages in the mail, and I don't know what they are, and it is killing me. But our postcard is... very cool of New York City because it is from China Doll 320, and you can find her on FetLife, Tumblr, Twitter, and at her website as China Doll 320. She is awesome. She is from New York City but in Boston for school. So she's, you know, that's why we got the New York City, but you know, China Doll, if you would ever like to send another postcard, I'll totally take a Boston one too. Not that I'm a greedy baby girl or anything.
No.
But if her name sounds familiar, it is because she also helped us finalize the artwork for our merchandise at the Redbubble store. So, and she is a very active user of the forums and talks to us a lot on Twitter and is pretty much the one who spends enough time in the forums that if something's not working right, I can kind of count on
China. She's kind of like our troubleshooter.
To let me know that there's something going wrong. So yes, thank you. We got our postcard. If you would like to send us a postcard, there's a link in the show notes page and on the website called the Postcard Project, or I will give you the address because I just do that. Here we go. I'm trying to stall so people can get whatever implement they need to write it down. P.O. Box 391. P.O. Box 391, Crystal Beach, Florida. Crystal Beach, Florida. 34681. 34681. And what you guys cannot see is that John Brownstone bobs his head in time with me speaking. And so then I am distracted by his head bobbing and also speaking in time with his head bobbing. And it is very strange.
The human metronome.
Something. I don't know. It's something. So thank you, China Doll 320, for absolutely everything. Yeah. We certainly recommend that you follow her. She participated in Masturbation Monday, which is one of the four websites that I now run, for the first time. this past week, and it was excellent. And first time out of the gate, and she got picked in your top three.
Yeah.
Because Daddy now picks the top three Masturbation Month.
Mm-hmm.
His top three Masturbation Monday posts of the week, which frees me up to pick others that I like as well, which works out really well. So, yeah, trinidol320.com. Oh, what commercial is that from? Somebody tell me.
Excuse me.
Tweet at me or message me. I can't remember. Oh, okay, gosh. So the next thing on the list, last thing for bonus section, it's kind of a short one this week, is all about, it's from you. You have something to share with our lovely crickets.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I've been playing in the shop. Finally got a break in the weather, and it cooled off a little bit. Thank God. And I, you know, saying cooled off is a relative term here in Florida in August. But it cooled off enough that I could at least get out in the morning and spend 4 hours or so in the shop. And I picked up several Delrin rods. And if anybody's not familiar with Delrin, it's a wonderful material.
That would be in the eye of the beholder. Just so you know,
it's rather stiff, but it's also very flexible, and it makes great canes.
Like I said, eye of the beholder there.
So what I did was I had some eucalyptus and black walnut.
Those are types of wood.
Wood, and I turned handles to make canes. So going to have a number of canes with custom made turned handles
for sale on the shop.
Yes,
eventually.
Hopefully by the time you're hearing this, they will be there. That is my goal, although I've been trying to get to it all week. Kayla seems to find stuff for me to do.
I'm really good at that.
But well, in between all that, I'm going in, as we go into September, I'm also preparing for fall shows. I have a number of fall shows lined up, so I've been trying to balance between both sides. But yeah, look for these. I've posted a few teaser pictures on Twitter.
Yes, you have to follow. You do it on your Twitter, right?
Yes.
Southern Sirs Pluh.
Yes.
Really need to fix that.
You say that every time.
I know, and I haven't fixed it yet.
I haven't done a thing about it, so, or even told me how to do it. So, anyway, that's pretty much it.
I think that's plenty.
Plenty?
Well, I mean,
you
it's...
good?
Well, no. We're bad, bad Leroy Brown. No, now I really am showing my age. Wow.
I didn't have to go anywhere for that one. You did it all on your own.
It is exciting. The paddles, you've almost sold out of the paddles. You just popped up online. And the shop we're referring to is at KaylaLords.com/shop.
Right.
Because we don't have a standalone shop for Loving BDSM. And I'm starting to wonder if we should. I don't know yet. I'll add that to my list. So, yeah, people are buying them. And we're getting feedback from the people who have purchased those paddles that they love them.
Right.
I know Panda Kitten and Panda Daddy will be trying their new paddle out in about a week, I think. I'll let them.
I think so. 6 or 7 days.
And
now
that's
at this
from
point.
The time of this of recording. Yeah,
yeah.
So I'll let them correct me if I got the timing on that wrong. But so yeah, I know we've gotten good feedback from other people. So what I would like to see is that you become a paddle and cane making machine.
Yeah.
And that's just, screw those pins. Now I'm teasing, I'm teasing.
Well, once the weather cools off and I can spend some serious time in the shop, absolutely. So just get through the next month.
Right, exactly. Maybe we can... Well, actually 2 months, because the wedding is at the end of
October. That's true,
October. So, yeah. Okay, I don't feel like I have a whole bunch more to say.
Okay.
I mean, I could, but then we'd just be bitching for about an hour and
nobody
signed up for that. Oh, I do want
to
say...
I'd have to get the ball gag.
Today is the first day of September, the day this episode goes live, and Kinky
2017.
Book... 2017, thank you. And Kinky Book Club has a new book for the month, As Kinky As You Want to Be, by Shanna Germain. We have a link in the episode, or not the episode, on the website about Kinky Book Club if you want to learn more about that.
I've read the first several chapters on that. It's a pretty good book.
You're doing better than time. I'm hoping to get through part of it tonight before September 1st is officially here. That's what I'm hoping for. We shall see.
Wow, I'm ahead of you in a book?
Not for long. So, yeah. Are we good?
Yeah, I think we're good.
I think we're good.
Yeah.
Well, we love you guys. We packed this episode more full of more information than of our rambling, so it feels a little weird to have done
that.
But maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah.
We'll find out. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we help somebody out there. You know, shout us out. Talk to us. We're not scary. We promise.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, we love you. Bye.
Bye.